Blog Talk Radio.
Get up again and smile. Get up again and smile.
Good morning and welcome to Our Black News. I'm Don Allen up here in this corner, depending on how you're looking at it. Next to me is Anthony Scott over there on your right or your left, depending on what eyes are working. And right in the middle there is Mr. Jonathan Mason from Mason Live, Mason in the Morning, Mason marching, leading stuff, and pissing off cops and lawyers and doing all that stuff. Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? I'm doing pretty good, you know. The snow kind of caught me off guard, okay? And I was not prepared to shovel twice in one day, but I had to. Anthony, can you hear us?
Well, he's dealing with that now.
Yes, we do.
I know you were talking about several different things. Obviously, there has been a lot of things happening. We had the Derek Chauvin, Officer Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd. One of his charges got dropped, so he dropped the third degree. I would like to go on the record with this one because a lot of people, they're happy. They said, well, yeah, the second degree's still there. That's more than likely what he's going to get. Being that I don't have the most confidence.
Okay, we just lost Jonathan. He should, there he is.
What'd you say?
No, keep saying. You were talking about not having.
So what I was saying was, I don't have much confidence in the system, and I think that we're at a spot right now where we have the potentiality to where I'm at. I don't think people will be, it's already unintentional. Second degree murder for the one charge. They dropped the third degree murder charge, which I believe was probably the best one to be able to stick. We have not only a second degree, but we have the manslaughter as well. So they are looking like they might have a possibility of trying to let him off on manslaughter. But I just don't see a jury giving him a second-degree murder charge. So, you know, we had that going on this week. We obviously have a lot of the bonding bill. The $1.9 billion went through. The infrastructure, it looks like it's going to be going through and it's going to get passed and all that. What does that look like for Black businesses throughout the metropolitan area? And we have a lot of things to talk about, but I would like to get your guys' perspectives on, you know, not the Derek Chauvin decision, but what's going to go, the money's going to go to what community per se from this bonding bill?
Yeah, if I've been following, it's funny that you bring that up because I had a conversation with a couple old community stakeholders yesterday in Minneapolis and in St. Paul, and one of the things that they were telling me is that when that bonding bill passed, that even before that, a lot of contracts were not going to people in our community, meaning the Black American community. And up and down Lake Street, there are a lot of Somali contractors that have their paperwork in order that can get a crew in a minute.
And 1 second now, I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, go ahead.
But when you say that's crazy, they have all of their paperwork in order. So there's literally been funding and money that goes specifically designed to helping the Somali community get this paperwork in order. Am I right?
You are correct. There are incubators and people in MnDOT, Minnesota Department of Administration, because if you look at the law in Minnesota about fair contract practices and et cetera, some of those people from those different communities don't have the same stigma of civil rights that we have as Black Americans. And if the law says that, oh, you're supposed to participate too if you have the right tools and equipment and training, those guys are going to make sure that they go to whoever they need to get this information, to fill out this paperwork, to take any resources, and then the state, the feds, everybody, the city, the county, they dump resources in there to make sure that they are serving those communities.
Right.
So we're here, and historically, sometimes paperwork is not in order. Historically, we know that when they slam the door on our faces or say that we can't do this, or they award you pennies out of billions, you know, we have to start this civil rights march, this civil rights this and that. Whereas this other, the new group, just kind of float right in. But anyway, to answer your question, again, another bonding bill. Where is that money going to go? Is it going to the Minneapolis Urban League? Is it going to the NW? Is it going to any agency to build the infrastructure of Black Minnesotans at all whatsoever? And it's hard to tell, because it's hard to tell where that money, those men and women in that room, we don't know where they're sending it and how strategically it's been endorsed and to who. So I need full disclosure all the way. So I don't know what Anthony's comment is on that, but go ahead and ask and see if we can hear you. No, he just stuck there. We can't hear you. Okay, there we go. Go ahead. We'll give Anthony a time to refresh his screen. Yeah, I see you. Yep.
Yeah, so we have, you know, obviously there has to be oversight for the Black community. There will be people like yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're back.
But it looks like everything's going good now. What we do need to have is oversight. So individuals like you and me will be, and others, the leaders within the community, have to go thoroughly through this money and say, what is the Black community going to get? What are the requirements? What are the categories on where this money needs to go? What type of work needs to be done?
Exactly.
We know the infrastructure needs to be done, especially within our own community, because we haven't been getting this money in the longest time anyway, because, you know, areas maybe in Southwest and other areas.
Yeah.
So it is imperative that we say, to the Black community, because I asked you a question and it was almost a rhetorical question on why does the Somalian community have their paperwork in order, and have they been given money, which they have, we know it, to be able to put these things in place. So we see so many nonprofit groups for anti-violence, this and that, when really that's a policing job, getting the money like the Somalian community to focus on let us get $1 million to show our people how to get their paperwork in order, so now we can teach thousands and thousands of people to be able to now get these grants and stuff. And what that is a snowball effect for the Somalian community. Now they have paperwork. They're getting contracts done. They're building generational wealth.
Yes.
And that's what's failing within our own communities. But this time around, with this 1.9, God, I can report live to you from Studio B and tell you that I will be doing oversight. Not only am I going to be doing oversight, some of that 1.9, I'm going to tell people I'm going to go get some of it.
Yeah.
And then, and because it is imperative that we go get some of it, because for so long we haven't been, and we have to stop focusing on these anti-violence brands and moving. We got so many people running around with shirts. We got green shirts, corn shirts,
pink shirts,
pink shirts, running around. No problem with it. But what it is now we're not even getting ourselves in order for the paperwork, like the Somalian community.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is vital when we're talking about generational wealth.
Yeah, and I agree 100% with that. It's just, it leads up to this thing that's going on right now in the United States, and all these promises. You know, every election year we get tons and tons of, I promise, they'll smile at you on TV and they'll promise this and promise that. And the reality is it's only an election year. you know, and you're going to get any, basically, they'll pander to anything that you want to get back in the office to hold that seat. And so even with this, we have Anthony joining us again, a little bit clearer. Even with this, you have a
real quick.
Go ahead.
Is there a way you could turn that TV off in the background that you have on?
Yeah, I don't have anything. Let's see.
It's Anthony. He has a TV in the back room.
Okay, we'll go like that.
Well, he's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's throwing it off.
Yeah.
You're 100% right now.
Yeah.
100%.
And we got to get it. We got to go after it and make sure that it's put in places to benefit, you know, some Black American folks here and the Black community, which will then again benefit everybody, all the communities. And we need to get our kids and our old. There's a generation of people from 25 to like 55 years old that are not tech savvy at all whatsoever. And it's an opportunity right now to go grab that money. And it was really, let me just tell you this real quick, Jonathan, about 6 or 7 years ago, the Council on Black Minnesotans, before the name was changed to the Council of Minnesota's African Heritage, there was a guy named Ed McDonald. He was the executive director. And I was doing these internet marketing, kind of like, I call them cattle calls, because so many people would show up at UROC in North Minneapolis that
right.
It was ridiculous. And I was just about talking about the internet, computers, technology, blah, 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 blah. And he caught wind of it, and he put it out through his network. And we did these seminars down in the first floor of the first bank all the time. And just people would come and just listen and get information. And it was really a good time. We need to get back to that, but in a higher scale, a more detailed scale, because there was reports done by several think tanks that said in about 10, 15 years, Black and Hispanic people in the United States, the unemployment rate is going to be up around 73% because they haven't engaged technology and STEM.
Right. Right.
So we need
right.
to fix that. Let's see if Anthony's back.
Hey, Anthony, how you doing? Back. All right, guys.
That's perfect, man. That's perfect.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
So we were just talking about the email, making sure that the contracts and the monies that are that come from that, which is really taxpayer dollars, goes into our communities, but it doesn't just go into our communities as far as into these anti-violence groups and all this. We spend millions and millions, upwards of already 200 million efforts,
mm-hmm.
and the crime is on the rise. So it's clearly not working. What we do see is a problem with poverty, generational wealth gap. And so we're talking about how we make sure our people within our communities can be able to not only fight for these contracts, have their paperwork in order.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Don was talking about how in 10 to 15 years, unemployment is going to be upwards of 73 to 75% if we do not turn the curve right now, because there's the technology gap as well. So trying to now help our community learn these simple functions of technology. I'm even amazed by Don. Everybody I talk to, Don, everybody that talks about Don, you know, he's obviously a tech savvy guy, very well educated, well rounded. But it's simple things like this, even that we're in the live studio.
Mm-hmm.
Don set this all up. So it's imperative that people in his age group as well, you know, start to, you know, you're 50, 60 years old. You still, hopefully, God willing, have another 20 to 30 years. What does that look like when Social Security's not here?
Yeah.
What does that look like if you don't have a pension or a retirement fund coming in? So we have to really address these concerns right now. And the money's coming in. It's just who's going to get it.
Yeah, and I agree 100%.
Yeah,
go ahead.
We've gotten away from, you know, just joining the conversation now, guys. I've heard some of it. I mean, we've gotten away from the idea of self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jonathan is saying, we need a combination. We need a combination of new energy. We need a combination of the old teach the young teach the old. We need to be working together as a team to make these things happen for our communities. I mean, like you say, there's opportunities. And what gets me here in the Twin Cities, you continue to see the same old faces. You continue to see the same old, almost like,
yeah.
Here comes Don Samuel. R.T. Ryback. Here comes Sharon Sales Belt. They're going to save the day. Well, you know, you've had your chance. You were failed. If you you want to get on board, let's get on board now. Let's not say that they're the ones.
No, you're absolutely right, Anthony, because, you know, you do see these same old faces, right? You see these
Yes, we do.
I'm not going to say some of the names, but I've already said them.
I'll say their names when you get done. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. People like Don Shepard. Because I ran into it, and he's got a majority of the chunk of the money in the contract. So when I say, when we're talking about now working together or helping our people with the money that they've got, and whether it's NIDA or anybody else, with the money that has been given to the North Side, why haven't we done almost similar, or I hate to say it, followed the Somali community in ways where we've taught our people how to go now, go get that money, that same money. And so what happens is, and I'm not accusing anybody of doing this, but it looks to me that do we not want our people to eat as far as getting the same financial gains as other people? And that's the problem I think we've been having. And obviously it's systematically and generational recursed within our culture right now that we have to break these curses. But we have to literally talk about how we can help our community get this money.
And I agree.
And so, you know, Donald Trump has talked about $500 billion coming.
I'll take some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about it. We have 50 states. Minneapolis is going to get maybe, what, $2 to $3 billion out of that $500 billion? And what are we going to do with this money? I'm not going to let these same old local jokers get this money and not build any contracts, places where we can teach our people how to do contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Teach our people the necessary skills, the trade skills that we came. We're the grandchildren and the grandsons of the best builders in the entire planet who built the American economy, built our society for
us. Yeah, they sure did. We sure did.
We can't read. We're in the 21st century, and these are Minneapolis public school numbers. 2 out of 5 kids aren't proficient in reading and in math, and the world is going on, Ed, right?
It's a joke.
And that's the reality. So when we're talking about the 21st century, we're talking about contracts. We're talking about a consulting firm. We're talking about this type of stuff. Our people, we're still doing the same old tactics, and it has to stop. And so hopefully with this bonding bill money, we get some of this money and we distribute it, but we teach our people how to go get it as we're distributing it. And we're going to be doing that.
And that's what we need to do. I'm reading here, Jonathan, Senator Mark Moran said you just called us old. We're not old. He said, hey, guys, the bonding bill is only a small portion. Listen to this. In the HHS budget, there's almost $2 billion in existing grants to the nonprofiteer per biennium. Which,
no way. $2 billion?
Yes, there's money still sitting there, I guess, from what I understand. And
that was the HHS?
Yes.
Oh, it's over with. They should
have Yeah. And you know what? Here's what I'm saying. In Minnesota, I don't care about the national election for president that much because whatever happens is going to happen. It's all pre-planned.
Right.
But locally,
we can make a difference.
We got to make a difference here. And I just had a Republican senator to write a Minnesota senator to tell us that there's $2 billion sitting around.
And so, yes, that's right. You're right. So when we have, obviously, local reps, we've had Lacey Johnson on, we've had John Thompson on here, we've had many people on here, Scott Jensen, we know these people, Paul Gazzaca, and all these people that are, in positions of power. Now, we got to get out of this media and this narrative of, they're racist. They don't want to work with us because, we're going to have to work with our Republican counterparts. We're going to have to work with those who the media tells us not to work with. Duh. That's the whole scheme. They don't want us to work together.
Yeah.
So, yes, we need to work together on getting this money and building the bridge between, the black community and the white community, especially within Minnesota, due to the disparity levels that we do.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100% on that, Jonathan. And it's just
–
go ahead.
Key words right there, Jonathan, is working together. And as I look at the history of this city, the African American community in the Twin Cities as well as in the past. If you look at some of the research, you look at some of the books, some of the research that my father did in his books, you'll see that the community had a credit union. You'll see, and this credit union had a board that consisted of one of the great ecumenical leaders in St. Paul, Reverend Father Carty, James Mann, one of the great policemen in St. Paul, Mr. Cassius, one of the great businessmen here in Minneapolis. It's one of the things that Jonathan comes in by himself. Don comes by himself. I come by myself. But if we come together, see, we're gonna make a real statement.
Mm-hmm.
See, and this is what's lacking. There used to be what I would call a black middle class that was all around the country. And they were able to bond together. They were able to do everything that they needed in their community amongst themselves. And we can still do that today, but we're so spread out. They kind of systematically, especially if you look at here in Minneapolis, killed our schools, taken the vocational education out of the schools. They should be keeping up with the technology. They should be keeping up with STEM. The kids should be able to learn this in schools.
You're right.
Teachers that are telling them about technology.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely.
And showing their families the same thing.
And that's one of the main problems, because right now in the state of Minnesota, we have tons of moms and dads and uncles and aunts that can't come over and help that one family on internet stuff for distance learning because they didn't really learn the technology. So, I mean, I've talked to parents over the last 3 or 4 days that say, hey, I have 3 kids here, and all of them are on the internet, and I don't really know, you know, I hope the other ones are finishing their work, but I don't know what this is, you know.
Oh, yeah, and that's happening. So the equity wealth gap right now, this is so inequitable right now. Even for white kids, it's not even good.
Yeah.
And so we're at a spot right now. We're going to have a disruption in the way that the next generations behind us try to figure out this hiccup. And so Mark Baranczyk, you have the money, the lack of oversight on all these nonprofits allows the funds to line
pickets and rarely serve the intended purpose, working on oversight through the Office of the Legislative Auditor. This is the office which provides oversight of state agency oversight. Boom.
Oh.
So he's putting out the breadcrumbs, you know? He's putting out the breadcrumbs for you right there. If we need to know what's going on. I mean,
right.
I just keep telling folks this. I said I would need to see a Republican majority in Minnesota Senate and in Minnesota's House.
Do you think that's going to happen this year?
I think, you know what, I've been looking at some of the senators that have like challenges, and it seems like the challenges are not that huge, but I'm unsure about the House.
Do you think the House is going to sweep?
No, I don't. I highly doubt it. I think that the districts where these senators are from, they're solid. And they should do well, but it will never. It's going to be a thing to watch. I'll put it like that.
I think so too. I think there's going to be some upset within Minnesota.
Yeah.
I just truly believe that people. Certainly, I'm just speaking locally. Remember when we talked about the huge presidential race? You like everybody knows kind of where that's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Joe Biden, hell, if it's Joe Biden, then it's going to be a war on our hands because the Republican right is going to be highly upset, and he might not leave. And then if Donald Trump wins, people are just going to feel like they're going to feel defeated or whatever the case. I don't know. But locally, for me, I truly feel that there is going to be some hiccups. I don't know if Ilhan Omar truly understands she's in jeopardy. Well, she can be, you know, she thinks she's a movie star or whatever the case may be. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I don't see her. You know, a lot of people like her. I just don't see her. She's not in our community. I don't see her on the north side.
Yeah.
I don't see her. It's still New Hope. I just, you know, I know she got in from the south side. So what happens is there's 120,000 Somalian boats that are just contributed to the south side, and anybody coming out that south side, you got the Somalian report or support, you're in. They done jumped over the black boat.
Yeah, yeah. And, that's,
and so we don't even, oh, yeah, we're not even, people don't even, you know, they, you know, the Democrats come, say, yeah, every 2 to 4 years, say, hey, you guys, we got, you want to come to a couple meetings, you want to come pass out some flyers and stuff, and by, after the time you pass out and put Biden, Harris signs all over the north side, in a year and a half, 2 years, you go call those same people, you'll never hear from them again.
Yeah, you never will. And that brings us, I know we have a couple callers online, but I'll put that on standby because the sound is so terrible for the callers because we don't have it in the switchboard. So, but give us a minute here. But the thing is, too, you know, I was reading this post on social media from a local musician. He was a national musician at one point. I guess he still is a national musician. And he's like, pleading, and he's black, and he's pleading with people on his page saying, we have to vote for Joe Biden. We must vote. We, you know, it's important. I mean, he was literally begging in his persuasive writing for black people to vote for Joe Biden. And I get that. I understand it to an extent. But your rationale for that is because the current president, in his own words, this guy, this musician, is a jackass and a dot, dot, dot. And that doesn't supply enough information for me to even listen to him. As actually, he lost all credibility when he went into the word name calling. Now, if he would have said something, vote for Joe Biden because the current president has not addressed my need for my grandmother's Social Security or something like that, I could have accepted that. Okay, and so we're going to see a lot of infighting, a lot of people like friendships broken over who you voted for, how you voted. And then again, you're going to see folks that aren't just happy no matter what way it lands. But in Minnesota, we could, like you said.
But the current, you know, and I don't want to dwell on the national scene. I really want to focus on what's going on right here because what's going on outside my door is most important. But the current leader, the Great 45, he's the one that's gone down into the gutter. He's the one that's gone down in the name call. He's the one that makes up all of these things. He's the one that incites and brings back the Confederacy. You know, they were beaten. That's over. We are one country, and if we don't stay together, I mean, I can understand you know, your friend Don, some of the things he said, because 45 does the same thing. He gets on and just incites people and just says anything that comes out of his mouth.
And
you really fear, you have to fear for a person like that. You have to fear for a person like this because you don't know exactly what they're going to do. And it's obvious that he owes money to everybody. He owes money to everybody.
But who cares? Who cares who he owes money to? Who, hey, Anthony, do we really care? Do we really care who the president owes money to?
That's why I care.
I mean, really, do we really? I mean, who gives a damn? Okay, I mean,
no, I don't care.
Okay, well, that shouldn't even be a talking point, man. Check it out. Here goes the deal. Okay, well, we don't have to, but let's go back to 2016, October 2016, where you were happy because CNN was reporting that Hillary was ahead by 30 points. And MSNBC was reporting that Hillary was going to wipe this guy off the map. Let me finish. ABC, NBC, CBS. All the local networks here in town, the Star and Tribune, the St. Paul Pioneer Press, North News, Insight News, Spokesman Recorder, Michelle A., everything in the whole United States except for Fox in October 2016 put Hillary Clinton so far ahead of President Trump that it was going to be a knockdown drag out. Just it's over with. Boop. We're in that same place today.
Right.
You know, right now.
What happened Monday? Okay, everybody's talking about the red wave.
Yeah.
The red wave is going to come, and if he gets Arizona, if he gets Ohio, if he gets Wisconsin, what if he turns Minnesota red? Pennsylvania, they're mad about crap.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina, they go red. I think that we'll be in a position where America will be highly upset. Do I think Joe Biden is going to get the popular vote? Yes. But we've seen that happen with Al Gore. We've seen that happen with Hillary. And more than likely, I hate to say this to you guys, I think we're going to see this with Joe Biden.
Da, da, da. There it is.
I don't want to really address this too much, but I just want to say, God, you know, upsets do happen.
I know.
I mean, Mike Tyson went over to Japan. They just thought he was just going to walk over us. He just thought that was going to be nothing to it. Hillary could have won. If there was one thing, sometimes these things come down to one or two things.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it comes down to the reason Hillary lost. When they had the debate, in 45, gets up, runs behind her, and stands behind her. If that had been Kamala Harris, she would have went sister line and put that finger in his face and tell him to get his ass back over to his podium.
No, okay, that's not how we seem to get stuck in the same area here of.
She's been locking up black men for weed. She's been playing around. She's holding with evidence for time. You can't even make it up. And then people want to talk about the Central Five.
There's something I could say.
Say it.
There's something I could say that a friend told me that he's holding. I'll just say it. I'll leave the word out.
Okay.
He's voting for Joe and
you got it.
So now we're at the fight. Right?
Yeah.
What does it look like? Who's going to predict this right? Vegas, you know, clearly Vegas is saying that Joe Biden's going to win. -200, so it looks like he's going to win. What? Does Donald Trump leave? Okay, Joe Biden wins. We get the announcement. Mail-in ballots come. They say Joe Biden wins. Donald Trump says it's not good. The Supreme Court sides with Trump. What does it look like? You know, right around that time, it'll be January, February, March, and then George Floyd, his trial starts March 8th.
Yes.
And then that's April, May. He died in May, the day of May, and this next summer goes haywire.
Yeah, that's very interesting to try to figure out what's going to happen, you know, in this long run. There's too many unknowns, and we can't really predict. We can't really predict what's going to happen, you know, because.
But I do want to interject this. What does the national scene, you know, the Republican national scene of power, how does that affect us locals? I mean, really, especially I guess I'm looking right at my community. I'm looking right around at the Ilhan Lacey race that I'm really interested in to see how that comes out. I've seen that Somalis have a really big power base. They have a very big voting block.
Yes, they do.
They've been able to get their candidates in. I mean, Omar Fattah on the city level, he's getting in. I'm just wondering how everyone gravitates. I mean, how are they building this power base while at the same time people that have been here in the Twin Cities and Evelyn Falls seem to be going backwards.
Yeah.
Where is their power base?
Yeah, and I don't understand.
There's got to be money behind it.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be money.
Well, of course. You got to
come in here with nothing. You're coming here. I mean, how many? Excuse me. How many times can they continue to describe? They have businesses. They kind of work in a milieu that we just sit on the outside and look in.
So what are we doing wrong, Anthony? Here goes my question. What are we doing wrong? I'm not mad at any person, Somali or otherwise, that comes to the United States and makes a living for themselves. That's what they're supposed to do.
That's the American dream, right?
Yeah, it's the dream, you know. It's the American dream. They did that. They came here from Europe back in the day, and they did all kinds of foul stuff, but they established themselves. So why is it that the black community has this ongoing systematic drain where some can't see above that and move ahead? I mean, I understand there's institutional racism, but let's rise above that. I'm not saying it's not there, but I'm saying it's time not to tolerate any of this, from education to business to finance, you know, period.
I totally agree with you, Don. I, you know, there has to be some self-accountability. And, you know, with that being said, you know, obviously there is systematic racism, but where do we take account and say, especially within Minnesota, you get a business started, you get your paperwork in order, right? You go, you know, you don't find out racism until you go try to make the deal.
Yeah.
You can't scream racism when you even didn't file the way you asked them, did you fill out the paperwork for me or D?
Yeah.
No, I ain't even do it. Well, you ain't going to get the contract because you got to go apply. You got to put the bid in. And so some people haven't even put their bid in because they're afraid of that interaction. And see, this is the part where we have to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part. Deny. Right?
Yes.
And the fear of being denied due to the fact of your color is the thing that hurts the most.
It's unfounded because we've shown that we can do it. See, racism and discrimination, that's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're not going to erase that from people. I don't care how many laws you put out. I don't care how many things you sign. I don't care what. That's not going to go away. But as individuals and as community members and as leaders of our family and loving our wives and kids and grandkids, that's a reason for us to stand up and get it. Forget about it. The racism is not going to go away in my lifetime. I mean, I don't know that I'll ever see that go away. If people just can't, it's so ingrained now that people are born with this. They come up in areas where, you know, so that's there. But that shouldn't defeat us. It hasn't in the past.
Right.
Okay? We have to have new strategies. And as, you know, the guys have been saying about technology and really learning what the game is. See, you know, I was like, my dad would say, look, I don't want to change the game. Just let me play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what we're saying. This is what the dog is saying. He's out there every day. Don was saying, Mason in the morning, I check him out. Brother gets up. He's trying to make this thing happen. And if we can all kind of get this type of energy, it's there. It's in us. It's in us to do it. But we really have to start standing up.
And even being able to get out the message. So that's so imperative, too. We do not own no newspapers. We don't really own radio stations.
Yeah.
Despite what they tell you, we don't own. And so we have to start making our own things just like this. You know, John and John Thompson, he always says this, too. We have to be the change we want to see. And I totally agree about that because, you know, no one's paying us to get on here in the morning to help our people out, speak the news and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think that we should? Absolutely. Other people get money. We should absolutely get $2-3 million for every Saturday that we have.
I agree.
That
would be perfect.
Bring us in every Saturday morning, pay us $2.50, and we'll come in every Saturday morning and be able to be that outlet for the black community. Little do they know that will bring viewership, that will bring more responses. They, they,
Absolutely.
And these are the things that we have to come up with and have ideas about, but also put the work to us. And I see a lot of people, because we've been so systematically tricked through liberal ideas. I would hate to tell you, it's through liberal ideas. You know, welfare is a beautiful thing when you need it, right?
Yeah.
But if you are trying to get it, don't even know you're getting yourself into it, you feel like you're doing something, but there's no self-improvement. They have rules and stipulations on how you can get money. Black men back in the 90s, I was talking to black men in the 90s, and I was like, tell me about what was the big things about welfare and stuff like that. They were like this. Black women couldn't even have, if you were on welfare, they couldn't get no job. Some black women, they couldn't even have no man in the house, right? If they seen a pair of shoes in the house, you and your babies weren't eating.
Yeah.
So we have to have those conversations
exactly.
And say, wow, this is the reality of what happened in the 90s. And things like mass incarceration, we have to talk about it. I know people don't want to talk about it because it's been a year, but it was Joe Biden. Joe Biden said sorry, okay? He said sorry, but you can't say it's sorry like it's a damn accident, like you took the left-hand turn when you're supposed to take a right. No.
Like
Donald Trump, you didn't do enough to get people out, and Kim Kardashian, she didn't.
Yeah.
So let's talk about actually getting black men out for drug treatment, actually start getting them out of jail, getting them into treatment. It don't mean you get right back in society. Take your ass and go to, if you're a crackhead, you go get treatment for crack, and you beat it. You go through a class. You go through it and beat it. Then we monitor you, get you being a productive person in our society so we can get this taxpayer. It will relieve the taxpayers because more taxpayers, more money comes in, the less the burden.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way we have to, I think, have to go about it. But, yeah, we have to start getting out of this mindset of entitlement because there's no entitlement. No one's going to give you nothing.
Nothing.
And
you're not even going to win the lottery.
You're not going to get it for streaming races. Trust me.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at other people with the nonprofits, and they said, maybe you're in the wrong area. You out there screaming. You ain't even got to scream. All you got to do is push the paperwork and say you're fighting for nonviolence and you get the money.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go that route. I would feel like a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to help our people out. So, I am transitioning from a protest mentality of always going out there, activate, to more of the economic justice side. Where's the money going? Let's get them contracts. Let's get the bid. But Don Allen, get him $2 million, and then, you know, he gives Mason a little bit. You know, that's how it works.
No, we all get it at the same time. In Minnesota, here goes the thing.
Yeah.
In Minnesota, if you go with a group, traditionally, if you go with a group of people, and I've been with certain groups of weird people, and I almost said a curse word, but we go in, come out, and you never hear about anything again, and maybe a few weeks later, you find out, oh, so-and-so got that grant. Remember you guys went to that meeting to meet with those people at the state capitol or here or there? Well, what they did is they brought us in force, and then four or five of them collaborated after they impressed the powers that be and came back and said, well, we speak for everyone that was here. And, of course, yes.
That's what they've been doing. Oh, you must have, oh, they do it to me every time. You know how much money? Amazing, I've rattled the system up. Before you know it, I turn my head, and this group is getting $40 million. Now, what though? What in the world?
And
so, you know, even with the foundational part, you know, maybe that's, and, you know, I can't blame anybody. I have to, what it taught me was, Jonathan, you better go get you a nonprofit. You better go get you a foundation. So because you are doing the work, they are using your name, they are seeing what you're doing, it's time that when something does happen that I have the funds and stuff to be able to come. Because, look, we sat here and seen Black Lives Matter. When is the last time Black Lives Matter gave a black male any type of money? They don't give black men money. And if they have, I want to see the record. Because I truly do believe that they're not a, you know, they're a nice umbrella. It's a nice name.
Mm.
That it's Black Lives Matter. Duh, Black Lives better matter. You know, yeah, they better. And just by saying that crazy ass statement makes you feel like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Do we even matter? It makes you even think, oh my gosh. And then they find, you know, they go send the money. This is what happened. So they make this group. People write literally all over the world. They type in Google and say, donate to Minneapolis for black people. And then it pops up on the screen, Black Lives Matter Christian. They go to the donate. They put the, they'll look at it, honey, let's pay $150 towards it. These black guys and women, they're getting gunned. Well, it's black men. 95% of them are black men getting gunned down. Alpha men, alpha black men getting gunned down. And what we find out is the groups have no black men in it. They're getting, they're exploiting the purpose of the death. And then they get the money, and black men are still suffering. And that's where I'm at. I'm at the spot where it's imperative that we start getting these money to come in. And so, well, how we do it is we got to start our nonprofit.
Well, I'd like to ask a quick question on the Black Lives Matter in regards to the Twin Cities area. Is anyone aware of an actual chapter, if that's what you would call it, here in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area? Is there leadership? Is there a leadership base? Is there a particular person? Is there a board?
Yep. Aren't there like a couple?
Office? Is there contact people?
Okay, go ahead, Jonathan. Bring it down.
I'll tell you who it is. They got Chantel Ellis. She's on the St. Paul's school board. Her and I guess maybe a couple other people run the Twin Cities Black Lives Matter. They don't even like me. Look, I'm out here fighting for black men. They can't.
You're black. Why don't they like you?
Black men. You know, because I'm fighting for black men. Now they. This is the hypocrisy of it all. Even ask John Thompson. I might have to call John Thompson. You just call Paul in John Thompson because even with these certain groups of individuals, they pulled guns on him at the George Floyd Memorial.
Dang.
So these people, some of them, I ain't saying their name, they're criminals. And they don't like that we're fighting for black men. They don't like that you're a black man and black man. And see, this is the problem with the liberal party. And we have to talk about it. They have liberal white women and black women who hate black men and men all together sometimes, and they strategically play like they're for black people through the black woman, but they don't like the black man. And so they use the black, and the liberal white women use the black woman against the black man like they started to do in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, just strategically done by Nixon and them, who took the black man out of the house, mass incarceration through Joe Biden and them. And we have to talk about it. Now we're at a spot where we have women raising black men, and the black men are still getting out. Joe locked them up. They're getting out for crack, and now they can't get a job because they had a felony and they had a criminal record. They have nowhere to go. They're getting out. Their kids are mad as hell at them because Joe Biden locked their daddy for so long for having a joint. Now their mom and them been talking so crazy about them, so dad gets out to jail. And the dad gets out of jail. The mom has been talking crazy. She got 3-4 baby daddies because she's been getting the money from the welfare system and they said that no man can be in the house, but you're going to have a man in the house. The man got to leave out the house because it's cold as hell in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So they go find somebody else. They go get them pregnant. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And Stillwater, we have the school-to-prison pipeline. Black kids in Minneapolis public schools can't read proficiency levels at all. It's just an absolute disaster. And then, you know, you have other, you know, right now, the black folks, when we're complaining here, they say, well, look at the Somalian community. Look at the Liberian community in Brooklyn Park. Look at all these, the Hmong communities doing way better than you guys. Why can't you guys ever do anything? But the highways go through the north side. They go through Rondo. They've done all this. We get the money now. But then our own culture within Minneapolis, we got our own culture. They're fighting for the nonviolent things. We got shirts all over the city. Different
companies. Yeah, that's true.
Fighting for nonviolence. And now when we're talking about business, they can't stand it because now people are competing with you in your own community. And we're the smallest. look, we're basically the smallest community within Minnesota now, and we still don't want to share the money amongst ourselves. And white people and the Hmong community and the Somali community, they're having a blast with billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, they're
want to share a couple billion.
Yeah, they're making sure, and it's really real. It's really weird because there is a stigma there. Why are certain cultures cool with making sure everybody's okay? And other cultures, like, especially here in Minnesota, because down south, I think it's a little bit different. I've been down south and I lived down, I was in South Carolina, Florida, where else? A couple other, Texas. And it seems like in those areas, it's a different mind frame. But when you get up here, in Minnesota especially, or you get back or whatever, you look at this and you say, well, damn, can't four or five of us go in a room and be strong enough and hold it down and tell these people what we need? And we shouldn't even be asking them in the first place. But they're holding the cards right now. But we want to hold the cards because we know really what's needed out there in the community. So, you know, when that happens, just some weird stuff goes on. I mean, whenever you put money and sex on the table, you know.
It's back to the strength in numbers.
Yeah.
It gets back to strength in numbers. I mean, when you talk about down south, I mean, I've done some studies. I was a child protection supervisor up here, and I saw how what goes on in there.
Mm-hmm.
And as I tried to tell people, you need to know what to do when these people knock on your door. If they knock on my door, okay, this is my family. Okay, you want me to do a plan? I'll tell you the plan. I'll work with you the plan. You got to stand up. But down south, you look at a city like the research I've done, Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly black. Police force, all black. All the child protection, they run all of the stuff for their community.
Mm-hmm.
They run it all. Few of us, it's almost like they put one person ahead. They've always liked, having grown up here, there's always, and many times I was one of only one or two or three black people in that class. One or two, they're okay with that. But then as I moved on in school, we got like 10 of us. We had 20 of them. Then everybody's nervous. Then they're, you know, we're just standing by talking about the football game or something. What are you guys talking about?
Well, within Minnesota, within Minnesota, in the Minneapolis, Twin City area, we're our biggest enemy, okay?
Yes.
We are. One of us, like you said, one of us gets in a position of power. We can't wait to be the token Negro. We cannot wait to do it. We go, we sit there and we just want to talk bad about a hall. Look at him over here. He can't do it. We just, we're just the worst to each other. And the white community, oh, my gosh, they hate him even bad. So it's easier for them to pile on. We have to understand that we have to love each other. We got to learn to have the knowledge and not have be so damn ignorant about things and come together and say and be fair. What, you know, we want to split 20-80 deals all day long with somebody who did the same work with. It's like, come on, let's split 50-50. Let's do it the right way and be fair. And see, that's our business problem. We get so, I want to put my name all over it. You know, what you don't have to realize is you can still go get it without your name being on everything.
Yeah.
And you don't have, I'm the CEO and I'm the boss. And you just want the title.
Yeah.
You're not even actually wanting stuff to get done. You just rather be a poor CEO versus somebody who says, I'm a project manager and I'll do consulting and I'll just help figure out the pieces. People have this mindset because we don't know how to actually be a boss because we haven't ever been the boss.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when you haven't been the boss and you have this idea of people like Donald Trump, you see Donald Trump and you say, wow, he is just the greatest boss. Because look, you hear some of these people, they don't have a boss bone in them.
Yeah.
He's just the biggest boss. Well, you know, many times we've heard he's been conning people and he looks good, but we have to actually start seeing black bosses. And so many times we've seen black rich athletes, black rich, you know, the O.J. Simpsons, the Mike Browns, the Jim Browns and those into rappers. Jay-Z, now you got to be a rapper and then you can turn and go into the suit. It's like we're not doing all this. You can be a construction, you know, you can be a construction manager. You can start your own business, start your own thing. And so that's what we have to start teaching our youth. And that's why, you know, I'm sure you went into teaching, Don, and to be able to make this difference. So we have to, once again, hold ourselves accountable, but go ahead and go get this money.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you said. And one other point I'd like to make is, like, it frustrates me because, you know, it is an election year and everything is crazy, and these candidates have raised billions of dollars in the last year. Okay, just think about if we went on a campaign for education, for economic justice, and we could raise a fraction of what these candidates have raised every year. That's what I was saying, like the Minneapolis Urban League or the Urban League of the Twin Cities. I'm not mad at them, but I got people calling me asking me, hey, I've called the Urban League and I haven't gotten a call back. I sent an email. I haven't got an email back. Yeah. And so I'm like, well, what's going on? And then you find out that there's a notice on their website that says, hey, our doors are closed, email us. And people have been emailing, from what I understand. And they're not getting any response.
Why can't they get on the show? Why don't they come on the show?
I asked the executive director, president, whatever he wants to call himself, Mr. Belton. I sent him an email asking him to be on this show or my other show. And he said, not at this time. He's not going
to
do that.
We need to ask him again, go on the record. Before you know it, I'll go there and write a letter and go drop it off at the front door. Bye. See you, Mason, in the morning. So we can get that handled, but I think what we need to do is we might just need to say forget the Urban League and just go ourselves. We're the new Urban League.
Mm-hmm.
That's the old chapter. The doors are closed. Our doors are open. Our name is the new Urban League. It's not the Urban League. It's the new Urban League. And so we'll do all the same signs, change things just a little bit. So
hey,
let
me ask you, have you heard of the A. Randolph Scott Foundation?
Say that again?
There's a you know, the Pullman Porters? A. Randolph Scott, it's a famous story. If you read it and you Google it and you read it, well, there's a chapter. Yeah, there's a chapter here in Minnesota that's paperwork is together, and the guy who has everything and holds all the keys to the chapter here is very willing to work with some folks to make this thing functional. It's a 504(c)(3), so you can lobby. If you can donate money to candidates and things.
Yeah, political.
But it's still like a nonprofit, you know. It's set up. So we got to talk about that because we need to try to move this thing forward and make sure these things happen.
Oh,
hey,
quick,
go ahead.
Royce White, we've come together, started working on one of the leaders, obviously, the 10K Foundation alongside him. And we've been masterminding some things because, you know, when we went on the 35W bridge, Arrington, Police Chief Arrington, the public safety, he said that he was supposed to close the highways at 5 o'clock when the semi truck came through.
Mm-hmm.
So I told Royce, I said, man, you got to drop this letter on Governor Walz. So he dropped the letter with our request. You can't even make this up. Literally the next day he was charged. The semi-truck driver was charged, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm telling Royce that that's what I'm talking about, is now we have to start going on the record doing open letters. Well, after he did the open letter, you couldn't believe it. It was like a tidal wave. NAACP President Leslie Redman, she did an open letter to, I don't know who it was to. She wrote to somebody. I have to go pull it up. And then yesterday, Minneapolis principals all throughout the North sent another open letter to the city and state and all that. And so now we've started a new trend, a new wave of, remember back in the day with Martin Luther King and everybody's writing letters?
Yeah.
Now we're going to start writing letters. So I want to tell you, fellas, Don, I know you're a writer as well. Get these letters rolling. Get them ready on the hot press. I'm going to put them right on the 10K Foundation for you, right on the web page. I'm going to send them to Ice Cube. We need new contracts for Black America.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not Republicans. We're not, we might be Republican or we might be Democrat, but we within this system, we need to have a Black Party in agreement for Black America. So I think we need to start writing these letters, and I want you brothers to be able to put your thoughts on it, be able to get that out. So.
Well, that sounds like a plan. Sounds like a plan. Bottom of the hour. I would say thank you. I usually schedule this for 90 minutes on Blog Talk Radio, so don't miss it, so we don't miss anything. So I get on your show, so that we are on our show. Thank you, Evan Scott. Thank you for the information. And we let James Brown take it.